Good morning, church. Buenos días. What a wonderful day. So we are celebrating the resurrection, and I love the flavor. There is a bird that is always dancing here, but today is resting. I don't see the bird. Every morning I see it there dancing every time we worship. So we are now reflecting on these powerful doctrines based on Hebrews 6, 1 to 3. And if you have not been here before, I invite you to go to Facebook and watch the sermons from the other Sundays, because we are going doctrine by doctrine. And the author of the book of Hebrews, he's teaching us and saying, let's move forward to maturity. And these are the doctrines that we're supposed to embrace and believe. And he states first, repentance from acts that lead to death, faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, baptisms, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and the eternal judgment. And most of these doctrines are basic, based on the book of Hebrews and the ancient church, but in many churches, in most of the time, are not taught enough. So we embrace them, believe them, and live out these doctrines. So today we're going to focus on the resurrection of the dead, which is very important. Let's go a little bit deeper and understand why we believe this. Because if someone asks you, why do you believe in Jesus? And you say, I believe in Jesus just because I believe in Jesus, that's not enough. In the 21st century, we have to actually not only believe, but defend your faith. Give people evidence of what you believe. And as I said all the time, some people don't believe in anything, which they believe that after death, anything happens. Nothing happens. Nothing. I don't believe in nothing. There is nothing after death. I believe that. Then your God is the God of nothing. So when you die, nothing will be your God, and you will be embraced by nothing. But I believe in the resurrection, because so far, the only one who came back from the dead is Jesus, not Buddha, not Muhammad. That's why I believe in Jesus. The guy came back from the dead, so I trust people that have been there. It's like trusting like when you believe that people are going to die and no one has been there, but then you have a guy that actually was there. Guess what? Common sense. Common sense. So let's go to the doctrine of the resurrection, one of the foundation of our faith. And the Apostle Paul, he was defending the doctrine of the resurrection, and there was division in the church, and people were challenging the resurrection, which was preventing the preaching of the gospel, because all our faith is based on the resurrection. So here's what Paul begins to write in 1 Corinthians 15. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how come some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ have been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. This is the foundation. If there is no resurrection, if only one bone of Jesus is found, it is over. Game over. So in 2,000 years, still the tomb is empty. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 5, he begins to lay the foundation and explain why he believed this. That this is not just out of thin air. For what I receive, I pass on to you as of first importance. And listen to this powerful statement. Only a few times the Apostle Paul says, I pass on to you. He says that in 1 Corinthians 11, teaching about the communion, that he received this from the apostles when he went to Jerusalem. He explained that in Galatians 1 and also in the book of Acts. And then he says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 people, brothers and sisters, at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and at last of all, he appeared to me also. 500 people. That's one of the evidence of the resurrection. I said that before, like if you have one experience and you have a vision and you see Jesus or you see people that came back from the dead and you are the only one seeing it, most likely you are drunk. Or maybe you are smoking. But when 500 people see it, there is no such a thing as massive hallucinations. Something is happening. It's the powerful statement that the resurrection is actually a fact that so many people experience it. Matthew 27, 51, 53. This is what the accounts, the biblical accounts, these are the records. At the moment, what moment? The moment of the resurrection. The curtain of the temple was turned in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. Then the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. This happens actually at the moment of the resurrection. These are early documents that we have. Now, the first case, when Paul, he was a theologian, so he was trying to build his case. He first, they say, well, in this argument defending the resurrection, let me state first why it's necessary. Why the resurrection is necessary. If there is no resurrection, then Christ has not been raised from the dead. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is what? Pointless. And we are still in our sins. In other words, without the resurrection, there is no hope for eternal life. This is a body physical resurrection. This is not a fairy tale or a metaphorical idea. This is a reality. It's going to happen. We're going to experience it. Those who believe in Jesus and in his power, because he declared already that he is the resurrection. John 5, 28, 29. Do not be amazed. Jesus is teaching that the Son of Man, that the Son of Man is a divine title that Jesus is using. So when people say that Jesus never declared himself that he was God, they have another thing coming. He said it many, many, many times. He says, I am the Son of Man. That's a divine title connected to Daniel chapter 7. And here he's saying, for a time is coming when all who are in their grave will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will raise to life, and those who have done what is evil will raise to be condemned. So the resurrection, in the doctrine of the resurrection, teaches that the resurrection will be for everybody. The difference is that some people will be raised to life to be with Jesus for an eternity and with God, and others will be raised to be condemned for the eternal judgment. And as I said before, if you in life, while your body, while your soul is in your body, if you say, I don't want nothing to do with you, I don't want you, God, I don't love you, I don't want to be with you, God is going to honor your request. He's not going to force you into eternity to spend time with him when you didn't want to be with him for 70 years or 80 years or whatever you live. So it's not like God is punishing you. He's actually granting you what you desire. But for those who believe in Jesus, those who place his faith in Jesus and say, I love you, I love you, I love you, and I want to be with you, God will honor that through Jesus. And we not be condemned, but raised to eternal life. The second block of this argument that Paul is presenting is the guarantee. This is a guarantee. The resurrection is guaranteed. It's going to happen. Christ's resurrection is a guarantee that we too will be raised from the dead. How many of you believe in the resurrection? Hallelujah. So you will be one day raised from the dead. And Jesus was always challenged also by the Sadducees, another group that didn't believe in the resurrection. And they asked Jesus, do you believe? Basically, they said, well, if you believe in the resurrection, answer this. There was a woman, and she has seven husbands. And the first husband died, the second husband died, the third husband died. At the end, in the resurrection, who will be her husband? And Jesus says, no one She knows better now. There is no such a thing as Mary in the resurrection. You will be like angels in heaven. Así que, so if you have a wife or a husband, say, honey, when we die, it's over. No more. Then he's saying, Adam, in all humanity experiences physical death in Adam. So we are all born sinners. And then through Christ, all believers will experience the resurrection. This resurrection will happen when Christ returns again. Yeshua is returning again. Jesus is coming again. It's a fact, and we believe it. We believe it. We believe it. Now, in case someone asks you to give an account of what you believe, and especially in the 21st century when we need to defend our faith, I'm going to give you several evidences that actually the resurrection happens. And I hope you are like this kid. You just have to preach it and raise your voice, because that's the only way you can do it and be happy at the house of God. Look at this. If you forget this, take a picture of the screen. So next time someone asks you, you can give an evidence. Why do you believe in the resurrection? Just because? No. I have evidence that the resurrection actually happened. Number one, we have biblical accounts. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have these historical documents that have been tested for years, and they are an evidence because they describe the account of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And when we understand this, we're going to believe, because when you look back and you have these written documents, you have archaeological documents and discussions, and you have statues, and you have so many things that really, really, really reveal that people came back to death. When you have that, there's no doubt. And people believe this because most of these documents were written 70 or 80, and sometimes even 1 Corinthians was earlier than that, that Jesus actually came back from the dead and he actually lived. No one in history has so many evidence that that person lived like Jesus. And now, in the 21st century, when I talk to people and I say to them, okay, do you believe, this is a fairy tale, okay, wait a minute, do you believe that Alexander the Great actually was alive and he lived? They say, yes. Do you know when Alexander the Great was alive? 323 before Christ. And you believe that? Like, you know it. Right? And then you believe in, how many of you believe that George Washington was the first president of the United States? Well, the guy died in 1799. You believe that? Then you have Winston Churchill, and he was fighting the Germans, and he died in 1965. Do you believe that? So he was leading this meeting and challenging everybody, and a woman came and said, I hate you. If I were your wife, I will poison your tea. And he said, and I will drink it if I were your husband. He believed in the resurrection. Okay, so we have all these historical documents. Napoleon, 1821, he was alive. And we have, these are 200 years documents. We're talking about the reality and the fact that the biblical account actually is an evidence that people actually existed and something happens. Early Christian testimony, you have Paul saying that 500 people see it. We have the apostles. We have so many people testifying, the early church fathers testifying about the resurrection. The empty tomb, that's another big pointer to the resurrection. I've been there, and I said it before, and I'm going to repeat it today. I love when I went to Israel and visited the empty tomb, big line, people from all nations coming, taking pictures. I paid almost $2,000, almost $4,000 the whole trip, and $1,500 on the plane ticket, and went there, took a picture of nothing. The tomb is empty. Wow. People travel around the world to see nothing. Nothing. The tomb is empty. That's one of the pointers to the resurrection. Post-resurrection appearances. I already talked about that. The people saw it after the resurrection. The transformation of the disciples. They were from just women and fishermen to become bold and give their life for Jesus, saying he is God, he is risen, he is Lord, and they pay a price. No one will die for a lie. Most of people, when they are lying, if they are caught, they really confess really fast. I was lying, especially if you're going to kill them. Not these guys. They decide to die, and they did because of that truth. Jesus is risen. Historical impact. The fact that we have 2,000 years, 2024, and here we are celebrating Easter, celebrating the resurrection. 2,000 years after, that's another evidence that the resurrection actually happened. And the other day I saw a pastor in YouTube saying, well, they celebrate the resurrection wrong because it's not that day, and because they do it with the sun, and that. I said, wait a minute, who cares about when happened? I care about that actually happened. So if it happens, that's what matters. It's like we get so confused. People got confused. Jesus was crucified like this or like this or like this. He was crucified. Right? We have these discussions that are pointless. What importance is that it happened. Then we have non-Christians and archaeological and non-Christian evidence sources. We have this historian, a Roman historian. His name is Tacitus. And he wrote about Christ's crucifixion and the resurrection. We have Josephus. And he also is a historian, a Jewish historian. And he also wrote about it. This is extra biblical accounts of the resurrection. Not the Bible. In case someone said, I don't believe in the Bible, that's a fairy tale. Okay, let's go outside of the Bible. Here you are. Tacitus, Josephus. Experiential evidence. People have experienced the power of the resurrection. How many of you have been transformed and touched by the power of the Holy Spirit? How many of you, after you meet Jesus, you want to be different, you want to change? So you are also an evidence 2,000 years after, and here you are confessing, believing. If this is not true, we will not be doing this. John 11:25, Jesus says to her, talking about Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. That's why Paul picked on this and says, where is, O death, your power? Where is, O death, your sting? The grave cannot hold you back when you believe in Jesus. We all are going to die. We all are going to die. That's why I said, don't fear death. Fear not to be with Jesus for eternity and with God for eternity. Jesus conquered death. The resurrection of Christ demonstrated his victory over sin and death. And he now reigns as King of kings and Lord of lords. In his second coming, he will judge death forever and will be completely abolished. That's why we believe in this. And I hope that when you come to celebrate Easter, you don't come like, this is another Sunday, another year, let's do it again, and because my daddy did it, and my grandpa did it, and my uncle did it. No. This is truth. And I hope that every celebration, you remember what important it is to walk in holiness, to sanctify your soul, sanctify your spirit, sanctify your body, sanctify your mind, and embrace this truth. Because God is coming again. Jesus is coming again. And every time we celebrate, we acknowledge that actually, it actually happened. It's so important. Revelation 26, it says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him for 1,000 years. The second death. So people are worried all the time about the first death, when your heart stops. But that's not what is important. What is important is the second death, a total separation from God, from eternity. That's what the second death is. That's why Paul was claiming and saying, where is, O death, your sting? And the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. We are sinners. That's why we die. But we also have the promise in Jesus that we are going to come back to life. So the people that you love, the people that you spend time with, share the gospel with them. If you really love them and you want to see them for eternity, preach the gospel to your children. Preach the gospel to your friends. Share this with people. And when you come to church, come expecting that God will speak to you, that God will speak into your heart. Jesus was teaching, and he said, basically, there is four types of people. There is people that when they hear the message of the kingdom of heaven, and this is the message of the kingdom of heaven, that Christ died, that he was buried, and he's coming back. He was crucified, and he's coming back again. And they said, these are gifts. These are the secrets of the kingdom. It's not given to everyone, only to those who believe. And some people, when they hear the message of the kingdom, when they hear the word, they really look at it. They don't understand. And do you know what it says? It said that Satan, the evil one, snatched away that truth from their hearts. And then he said, there's a second group. And the second group is the group that hears the word, get excited, hallelujah, sayonara, hallelujah. And then, they said, then, because they have no root, no evidence, no biblical foundation, what happens? The worries of life kill the word. And then there is another group that way, they listen, they hear it, but then the troubles of the world, the persecution that comes, the deceitfulness of wealth, pursuing dreams and success, and that shocks the world, and they are unfruitful. And then Jesus says, but there are other group that they see with their eyes, and they hear with their ears, and their heart will turn and believe. Those are the ones that I call good soil. When they hear the message of the kingdom, they believe, and they give fruit 100, 60, and 30 times what it was sold. Which one are you this morning? I hope that you are good soil, that you believe this. And my prayer is that God really touch your eyes to see this, touch your ears to hear this, but most importantly, touch your heart, so you not only believe it, but you understand it. And when you do that, then you can start taking action. Contemplate the reality of life after death. It's a fact that we are eternal. It's a fact that you are more than you, than what you see. This flesh is temporary, but what is inside is bigger and is eternal. That's why even though when you are sleeping, you are still traveling and moving and doing things around in your spirit, in your soul. Live with hope and anticipation of Christ's return. How many of you believe that Christ is coming back again? Hallelujah. So, you know, believe that and live that with anticipation that he's coming back. Expect it, believe it, and share it. Let your life show people that you actually believe that he is coming. I remember when I was little and I was very disobedient. I'm sorry. But my daddy used to come back home at 5. So I knew that. So I was doing, my mom was calling me since noon. Yosmar, Yosmar, Yosmar. 4:30. Yosmar. 5. My daddy was coming and I knew it. So by 5, I was where? Playing in the park? No way, Jose. I was in the house because I knew that at 5, daddy was coming. When you believe something, you act on it. So if you really believe that Jesus is coming back, let your life show that to people. Live a life that impacts others. It's contagious, that you are passionate about this, that you really believe it. Share the hope of the resurrection with others and boldly proclaim the good news of eternal life in Jesus. Talk about it. Ask questions. Don't force the gospel to anyone. My job and your job is to share the gospel. Then create a space for the Holy Spirit to work, because he's the only one who can convince people, not you. Don't go like, yeah, because no. Just share the gospel. Ask questions and wait. Go away, pray, and ask the Holy Spirit to turn people's hearts. He's the only one who can do it. I was not there 2,000 years ago, but I know. How do I know? Because the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, who is here to testify to us that this is the truth. It's a fact, and we believe it. Let's pray. Lord, help us grasp the significance of the resurrection of the dead. Fill our hearts with the hope that one day we will be raised with you. Strengthen us to live with an eternal perspective and evaluate our choices and priorities according to the fact that you are coming back again. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
All right, church, we're going to do a song here, and it's a time of reflection. You stay in your seat, you stay seated, you can come to the altar and pray and spend some time with God. And if you have never given your life to Christ, what better day to give your life to Christ than a day of resurrection? So join us as we sing.
and your love will never stop. You're with me in the morning, in the dead of night. You're not leaving. I've been to the bottom, I've been to the top. I can't run away, your love will never stop. You're with me in the morning, in the dead of night. You're not leaving. I've been to the bottom, I've been to the top. I can't run away, your love will never stop. You're with me in the morning, in the dead of night. You're not leaving, so I'm not leaving. No, you're not leaving, so I'm not leaving. No. You love me when I love.
We got one more song. Yeah, one more song. It's going to be awesome. And so we have one more song, and my voice is fading, so you all have to sing really, really loud. Let's sing.
Remember those walls that we call sin and shame. They were like prisons that we couldn't escape. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those walls are rubble now. Remember those giants we call death and grave. They were like mountains that stood in our way. But he came, and he died, and he rose. Those giants are dead now.
Sing, this is our God.
This is our God. This is who he is. He loves us. This is our God. This is what he does. He saves us. He bore the cross, leaped the grave. Let heaven and earth proclaim. This is our God. Will be
took our breath away.
They so weak that we could barely pray. But he heard every word, every whisper. Now those altars in the wilderness tell the story of his faithfulness. Never once did he fail.
Nobody but
I have been here 9 months, so I'm about to have a baby. This is Resurrection Sunday. Now I have experienced St. John to the fullness, right? So I'm very excited to be here and know the church and get to know people even more. And also, I'm excited that we have this wonderful communion table. And there is a guy who has an engineer mind to create this flooring table. He doesn't want to be named, but Jesus knows who he is. But we want to celebrate and acknowledge the hard work. He said, I promise by Easter it will be there. And here it is. And then the lantern will come later. But this is powerful just to experience that. So thank you for coming and celebrating with us. May the reality of the resurrection of the dead infuse your life with hope and purpose. May you walk confidently, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Christ is coming back again. God bless you and go in peace. Or in pieces, but go. God bless you.
This is our God.